Dorothea there with Theodore. Dorothea, top of the right circle, reels it in, hands it off. Carlson shoots off the post and home! William Carlson, long post and in for a power play goal!
Live from the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com.
Shoots, kick save, Fleury. Rebound loose, a shot, and no! It goes through Fleury for a goal!
This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your home for access with the team, exclusive player interviews, and breaking news from around the National Hockey League. Here are your hosts, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace, Darren Millard, Chris Chapman live inside the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studios. Findlay Chevrolet on the 215, home of the... What was that?
I didn't turn my mic up.
Oh, gosh.
So did you do the woo?
I did it twice.
And so then you had to. So you did it. Nobody heard it.
Realized the mic wasn't up.
And then you had to quickly turn around and do it again.
Yes. I didn't even have time to catch my breath. But
so that explains why you ran out of air.
Yes.
I had to catch my breath.
Oh, I didn't have time to catch my breath. I realized.
No, you ran out of air.
I realized in the middle of the first woo that the mic, it was on, but I didn't pot it up.
Wow.
And I was like, uh-oh.
Remember, there's so many people in this world who have been caught on hot mics, and you're the exact opposite.
Right. Hey, that's probably a good thing with some of the things that come out of my mouth.
Absolutely. And I don't want to jinx this at all, but. You're right. Of the two miscalculations, that's definitely the better one.
Yes.
Is to have the mic down and not being hearing you.
Though, to be fair, we have been caught on a hot mic because Chapman has us potted up in the breaks.
Commercial
break. And doesn't have his mic turned on for the show.
Now, the good news is that has ended since we went to these new boards. That doesn't happen anymore.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Glad to hear it.
I don't know whether it doesn't happen anymore. I think people are just used to it.
No,
they just think it's one continuous program now.
There are certainly people who would text us and let us know.
That's true.
45% of me thinks people just consider it part of the charm of the VGK Insider Show. That is one continuous program that is interspersed with the commercials. So you have to listen a little more carefully. But it's part of the program.
Yeah, you hear us talking about people we don't like over GiveMeTheVin.com. That's not a...
Jeez. Great start, fellas. Great start.
I don't know. I don't think there's anybody we don't like. There's probably people who
don't like us.
Oh,
no, there's people I don't like.
Well, you're the one that brought it up, so you got somebody in mind.
Well, I told you guys yesterday it was that guy Chris who was on the hockey team at school that for whatever reason I didn't like. And the funny thing is I don't even know why I didn't like him, but I didn't like him. I'm sure he's cool now. I'm sure he's fine. But I wonder what he would think if he found out that he didn't like him.
Who don't you like right now, though?
Right,
like,
now?
In your current social gathering.
I will bite my tongue. But there are a few people in particular that I'm not big fans of. But Like, my problem is I play nice with everybody. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very cordial with those people. But just because I'm cordial with you doesn't necessarily mean I like you.
Chapman, you can just say Tyler Bischoff. It's
no,
fine. We all know.
Why would I not like Tyler?
Come on. It's a bit, buddy. It's a bit.
Yeah, but I barely cross paths with Tyler. I will say this. I am not a fan of his soccer team or his basketball team, which I found out a couple weeks ago was the Indiana Pacers for some reason.
Yep.
He likes the Indiana Pacers, and I don't know why. Like, it's random that a guy from Mississippi would root for the Pacers, but and they beat my Knicks, so yeah.
I don't think that guy likes me.
No. Why would he not like you?
I call him out a little bit.
Oh. What about the other guy on that show, though?
Love Ed.
Okay.
Ed and I are homies.
Well, listen, you're batting 500 then. You're doing all right.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing Danny likes you.
Oh, yeah. I don't feel bad. I stuck to my beliefs on it, but there's lots of people I don't like now, but there's nobody, if I'm looking at through Chapman's lens, that realizes he doesn't like them. On the other hand, I think you know when I don't like you.
Yeah.
I think that's a lot better place to be. Why go around?
Well, because a lot of times the people that I tolerate are out of necessity. Maybe we work together, or maybe we're members of the media together. But if there's people in my personal
life,
why
can't they know that you don't like them?
Well, I should clarify, because in my personal life, if I don't like you, you know I don't like you.
Yeah.
But in my professional
Chapman's,
life, I
yeah,
tolerate.
You're non-confrontational.
I'm very
by design.
They can know that you don't like them, and you're still polite and respectful to them.
Well, they may know. I don't know. I mean,
that's the way I am. People know I don't like them, but I'm not going to be mean or insensitive or disrespectful to them.
I think that's fair.
But they know. They definitely know. Because I'm not the same with them as I am with you guys. Like, if we were all in the room, that person would know.
The funny thing is, though, there's so few people who I've had in my life who have done something to me so egregious that I would truly dislike them. Like,
well, some people you just don't click with.
But not clicking
That's
with them
okay.
isn't the same as not liking them.
Well, I mean,
and then there's other people that are just like, really? You're gonna act that way, or you're gonna carry yourself other way, or I don't like the way you do what you do. I don't like them.
Well, I
make sure that that they are on the same wavelength. I don't want them coming up to me trying to be best buddy and thinking that we're Ed and I when I don't like them. So I make sure that they know and that we don't have to waste any time.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the important aspect of it. Like, if you don't vibe with somebody, or you just don't get on with how they are, generally speaking, it's not compatible with you. It's okay to just exist in that space, Chapman. Like, you can exist in a space where you don't like somebody and they don't like you, and not be mean about it.
Well, I think part of it is I'm a Gemini, and I think part of that is I try to find like a redeeming quality.
Oh, that's a waste of time.
No.
That's a total waste. Like, that is an absolute crock of garbage.
No, because like for example, I may not always agree with everything a musician or an athlete or a celebrity says, or even you guys. But I find the redeeming qualities in you guys. Right? Like Ryan has a big heart, and Darren, I mean, you're Darren, so.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like, I find the redeeming qualities, and.
What a total waste of time looking for the redeeming. If you don't like somebody, you don't like them.
Yeah, but
why waste all this other energy
because
looking
they,
for redeeming qualities?
Because they might do something good.
Oh, common geez. Ground.
Yeah.
Come on.
Be quiet with that stuff.
Like, I mean, like.
So, hold on, wait, hold on.
Correct. Just
hold on,
own it.
Hold on.
You don't like somebody.
So, Darren, if you don't like somebody, there's not a chance that you'll ever like them in the future?
Nah, like, very, very seldom.
Has there ever been a scenario in your life where you have not liked somebody off the bat or whatever the case may be, only to later on find a redeeming quality that you actually admire? And
I would think so. I would think that has occurred.
So
I
that's
can't
not
think
a complete
of any,
waste of time.
Any examples right now?
Yeah.
But being around and on this earth for as long as I have, I would think that has occurred, but the examples would be few and far between, and I'm willing to take my chances the way I handle it right now.
Would you say,
but I promise you, I'm not disrespectful to them.
Yeah.
Like the people I don't like, I'm not I may not talk to you. I may not hang out with you. I may not at times even acknowledge you. But I'm not going to be mean or disrespectful.
So you're not going to.
Is lack of acknowledgement disrespectful?
Well, no. If you're in the same room together, I'm not like, I don't like you. Why would I talk to you?
So what you're saying is you're not going to bum rush somebody at like a bar or somewhere, a setting, a public setting, and demand that they apologize to you or for what, or you know, try to embarrass you in front of someone significant or anything like that. You will never do something like that.
Ask for an apology?
No, like walk up to someone and be confrontational about asking for an apology.
No, what are they apologizing for?
Well, anything. Like if in your mind they may have done something.
No. I'm concerned. Look, okay,
I asked Tyler to apologize. I asked Tyler to apologize.
But did you confront him in like a public setting?
Well, I confronted him on the air, then when he said some stuff to me, I asked for an apology because I thought he was wrong on that, and it was disrespectful in his phrasing. But I haven't carried on a feud or anything.
Okay,
I haven't done anything publicly to instigate it. I don't talk to him.
No,
it's not like terrible or anything like that.
Well,
I'm
no,
just using
but
that as an example.
For sure. But like, I guess my question, like, kind of an overarching question is, if you are in the same room, and I'm not using anyone in particular here, but if you're in the same room with somebody that you don't like, and they ask you a question, and you do not acknowledge them,
me a question, I'll answer it.
Sure,
but
okay.
it'll be pretty obvious.
It won't be a typical Darren Millard answer.
Yeah.
Now exactly. of the people that you don't like, what's the percentage of them that don't like you? I mean, is it pretty high?
I would think that they wouldn't like me for the same reasons I don't like them. Like, we don't click.
So then basically they probably wouldn't even acknowledge you or confront you or speak to you in a
and it doesn't bother me. It's
no, that's
it's
good though.
Good.
It's well, good. I mean, you only have five friends. Like, why would acquaintances not liking you bother you at all?
For those that didn't listen to that episode,
I
limit my friend count to five. It's by choice. All right? Anything more than five is a waste. I don't have the energy for it. I have lots of colleagues. I have closer colleagues than other colleagues, but my actual friend count is capped at five, and it's been capped at five for a long time.
And to be fair to Darren, who we gave a lot of grief to during that episode, I don't think that you're wrong, because when I sit back and really think about the people I would consider close friends or friends, whatever you want to call it. I don't know that my number exceeds five. Truthfully, like right now in this moment, like the people that I would call when I need to talk about something important or more important than just day-to-day stuff, I don't think it goes beyond five. I really don't.
Which is good. That's an acknowledgement. And it's not a bad thing. You have people that are in and out of your life. You have people that that you're acquainted with. Doesn't mean they have to be friends.
Now, do you subscribe to, and I know Darren doesn't, but in my case, it is, but my wife is probably my best friend. Like, Ryan, do you subscribe
to... No, she's your wife.
Okay. What about you, Ryan? where do you fall on that?
That's family. Family's different than friends, you
no,
guys.
No, because we're family by choice.
No, family is different than friends. Don't try to change the five friends thing.
I don't usually side with Darren here, but in terms of the friendship thing, like I'm with him. I would ascribe to friends being outside of my family.
Okay,
right? Like it goes without saying that my wife is a great friend of mine. Like she's the person I talk to more than anybody else in the world. So yeah, I mean it goes without saying that she's one of my friends, but I don't put her in my friend group. She's my family.
Okay. Totally just different.
Yeah, mine's about five as well. Now that I think about it, if I don't include her,
why are you guys giving me flack for this? And then you both come on board with the friend philosophy.
Because I wasn't necessarily against you in the moment, but if we're going back to that particular that particular show. You were talking about how this person was your buddy and that person was your buddy and this person was your, like, you were name dropping a bunch of people. And we're just sitting there like, oh, okay. Are they your friends? Are they your friends? They make the list. They make the cut. And it was a bit more than anything, yeah. But in actuality, you might be ahead of the game here. Five friends. That's what you cap it at. Everything else can kind of fit into another box, right? Colleagues, the people that you know at work that wouldn't necessarily ascend to friendship beyond what you have to do on a day-to-day basis at work. Like, I think that that's fair. I do. I think you can be close with your colleagues and enjoy spending time with them outside of work, but are they going to be one of the three or four people that you call for massive things in your life? Probably not.
I call some of them to move.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, that's...
Then you might have to consider them friends because...
No, they've got
a truck. I have to consider... No, listen. I have to... If I'm going to help you move, I have to consider you a friend.
No. Just,
oh, yeah.
You just have to have a truck.
No. See, what Ryan is saying is if you called him to move,
yep,
and asked you to help him, what, yep, he's saying is he would have to be in the circle.
Oh, that yep, is fair.
Yeah,
even if, and he no longer has the truck, so I don't think you'd be calling him.
There are three people that I would help move right now in my life, and the great thing about it is all three of them don't live here. They don't live in state, and what makes it even better, they're all settled, so I don't have to worry about helping anybody move. It's great.
You know who helped me move? Believe it or not, it's actually probably not that unbelievable.
I already know this one,
but Jared helped me.
Yeah,
yeah.
Jared's a great guy.
He is a good guy.
Love Jared.
And he's very strong.
He can't say no, though.
He's very strong. Because
he needs to be a helper.
My mattress weighs a ton. And
okay.
I still have no idea how him and I got it up the stairs into our bedroom. Because I've got one of those Serta memory foam mattresses.
Yep.
And it's fairly large.
This is a weird conversation.
Well, I'm just saying. And I still have no, like, when I move out, I don't know how I'm getting it out. Like, I may just drop it over the balcony.
So you guys do not let people that you don't like know that you're not fans. You just try to go along like everything's fine.
I think I try to keep things very cordial. I don't want anyone to...
What a waste.
No, it's not. If I have to work with people... I'm not going to be confrontational with them. I'm
see,
not going to.
Nobody's
because,
talking.
Because
see,
I might.
Here's, why would I want to be in a fight?
No.
Here's,
but no, I might don't. Need that. See, the thing is, I might need that person to help me with something in the future.
Oh, you're a user.
No, I'm practical.
User.
I'm practical.
You're strategic.
Yes.
Listen, here's the thing. Chapman is way more interactive with people than I am. I am a by definition introvert. Like I don't interact with a lot of people unless I absolutely have to. So my circle of people that I interact with on a day-to-day basis is incredibly small. And more often than not, the people that I'm interacting with, I don't mind. So I don't have to worry about couching things for the sake of not letting people know if I like them or not. Because generally speaking, I like the people that I'm around and I'm not around a lot of people often.
But you're always around people.
Not
you don't
really.
Have a choice to be who's around you. And I just make sure that I'm not wasting energy and time on being a fraud. I don't want to be that guy. 702-876-1340. Are you more Mallard? Or are you more Chapman? And nobody's being confrontational here. Mm-hmm. Nobody's being confrontational. But if Ed walks in the room, I'm high-fiving Ed, and I'm giving a big hug. Mm-hmm. If somebody else walks in the room, just not talking to them. And I'm not being mean. No disrespect at all. None. But I'm certainly not going up. If I don't like you, I'm not going up and giving a hug. Waste of energy.
Yeah, that would be weird. That
yeah.
would be weird.
But Chapman does.
Hmm.
No, I don't give them hugs.
I don't
hugs.
Know if he said that.
Yeah. I don't give them hugs.
But you're talking to them like everything's
well,
fine.
I'm cordial with them. If they strike up a conversation with me, I'll converse back.
Like, I'm busy. Not having this conversation. Hey, did you guys see the Chris Kreider Kachuk exchange last night where Chris Kreider took Kachuk's mouth guard, pulled it out of his mouth, and threw it into the crowd?
I did.
Should have been a penalty?
I mean, it's unsportsmanlike.
Yeah.
There's literally a rule in the rule book about unsportsmanlike conduct, and I don't know what can be more unsportsmanlike than pulling a mouth guard out of someone's mouth and trying to throw it into the stands.
Like, nobody's hurt.
Yeah. I mean, I still think it's a penalty.
You do, eh?
Yeah. Come on.
I watched it and I wondered, is that a penalty or is it just part of the game? It's just part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand your rationale by looking at through the rule books.
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna look at the rule book, by definition, it's a penalty. Like, do I think it's a penalty in a playoff game? Not really. Like, I'd be pissed if that was called in the game last night. I really would. It's funny to me that Kreider didn't make it into the stands. Like, he tried to throw it into the stands and it didn't get there.
It's hard to throw that thing with a glove on, though.
Did you hear Kachuk's chirp?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. It's the best play you've made all game. It's the best play you've made all game.
Yeah. So Kreider scored a hat trick to put the New York Rangers into the third round.
Yeah.
Like, was compared to Messier in 94.
Mm. Yeah.
That's how epic of a performance it was by Chris Kreider in Game 6 against the Carolina Hurricanes. I think in 2 years' time, we'll talk more about Chris Kreider pulling the mouth guard out of Kachuk's teeth and throwing it than we will about the hat trick in Game 6.
Yeah, you're probably right, because this might just be a play along the Matthew Kachuk superstar arc ascending to a Stanley Cup championship. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case.
So when you think about this, who do you think about first? There's two people involved.
Mm-hmm.
One person pulling the mouth guard out and throwing it. The other one chewing on the mouth guard and having it ripped out of his teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who's the first person you think of between the two people? I think of Kachuk.
I think of Kreider. Like, why are you that bothered?
Oh, because it's smarmy. Chewing the mouth guard like Kachuk does is irritating. Like, when you're in the heat of the battle and he's just chomping on that thing. And he never wears it. I've talked to him on the chirp about it, about why he even has one and what's the even reasoning for it. And because he never really wears it, and he says it pops in sometimes and it stops him from chirping, which I called him on and said, no way, because he still chirps as much as anybody. He's a world-class chirper. I love it. But chewing on that thing right in front of me, like, it just that would get me. I would do exactly what Chris Kreider did. I wouldn't be able to stop myself.
Yeah, I mean, it's childish. There's no way around it. Like, I guess in a way, it's childish for Matthew Kachuk to chomp on the thing all game long and not actually wear it. But at the same time, it's childish of Chris Kreider to go over there and rip it out of his mouth like he's trying to teach him a lesson.
I think it's pretty cool that he did it, because there's a thousand players over Kachuk's career who have wanted to do that and haven't. And I bet you, if you talk to some of the people that have had altercations with Matthew over the years, right now they're sitting back going, I wish I would have done that. I wish I would have thought that in the heat of the moment.
Well, to be fair, I mean, you asked me if it was a penalty, and I said, yeah, probably, but it wasn't a penalty in the playoff game, and it wasn't a penalty that I think is going to be called at any point in time.
It wouldn't be a penalty in the Thursday Night Men's League.
that then those players can absolutely do that the next time that they play against Matthew Tkachuk. Like, you've set the precedent. You can go over there, rip the mouth guard out of his mouth, and throw it into the stands.
Yeah, Matthew will be
not
ready
have to worry
time,
about anything.
No. Matthew will be ready next time.
He's got to keep it in his mouth.
Mouth guards just don't grow on trees. You can't be replacing a mouth guard every game.
I think Matthew Tkachuk can afford it.
One of the first things I thought of was, okay, he's got a backup. Like, how many mouth guards would Matthew Tkachuk have? Now, the way he chews on them, he probably has a few or goes through a bunch. But does somebody have to run back and get his backup mouth guard? Or is somebody putting the mouth guard in the hot water to mold, soften it up, and then he sits on the bench and lets it mold? Like, what happens there?
I think he's got to have at least three per game ready to go. Honestly,
I don't know how many mouth guards these guys have.
I'm just saying, like, as you mentioned, the way that he plays, right? The way that he kind of has the mouth guard dangling every single time he's out there on the ice. Like, you would imagine that he's lost quite a few or had a couple pop out at times and he's needed to go to a backup or whatever. I would think that he's got at least three per game ready to go at any point in time.
Maybe now, Kreider could even get a backup fine for that. That'd be okay.
Yeah.
It would carry on the story a little bit.
I mean, listen, don't get me wrong. I love that it happened. It's great theater. It's awesome. Like, there's a built-in storyline for Game 5 beyond what's going on the ice, and that is Chris Kreider and Matthew Tkachuk and the mouth guard. So, I'm all for it. I don't think Kreider is going to get fined. But I do hope that we get some animosity between Matthew Tkachuk and Chris Kreider in the next game. I do.
Tkachuk's been quiet, like, from that kind of thing.
Yeah, but I mean, I think he's done a low-key job of getting under guys' skin. Right? Like, he hasn't taken any ridiculous penalties. He hasn't gone on and on and on after whistles. Like, he's been pretty controlled by Matthew Tkachuk's standards, but he's obviously still in the kitchen of some guys.
Now, is there anything that you would like to take and throw away from an opponent? Is there another comparable to grabbing the mouth guard? And I'm in any sport. But
I'm thinking immediately if you could rip the racket out of your opponent's hand in tennis, I think that'd be awesome. Like, I don't think John McEnroe ever did it. I think he just destroyed his own rackets, but it would be the funniest thing in the world if you were that upset at your opponent that you just walk across, you rip the racket out of their hand, and you destroy their racket. That'd be pretty funny.
I know of, in hockey, times when opposition players have thrown gloves or sticks or helmets into the crowd during altercations, line brawls, that kind of thing. One time in Winnipeg, Bobby Hull was playing. Bobby Hull had a hairpiece, and there was an altercation, and somebody threw his hairpiece into the stands.
Oh, that's classic.
That's amazing. Yeah.
That
oh,
is
I love
classic.
That.
You think the guy took it home with him who caught it?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think they got it back. It was, I believe it was a game in Winnipeg, so they probably got it back.
Well, a couple years ago, Vegas and San Jose fight. Marc-Andre Fleury picks up the stick of the shark, and he puts it through the little camera hole to give it to somebody in the stands.
Yeah.
I can't remember who the fight was, though.
Sticks and gloves and helmets. In junior, fans would sometimes jump on the ice and take the equipment and then jump back over the glass. I've been part of that on two occasions. And Daniel Alfredsson threatened to throw, like, faked a stick toss into the crowd, because I believe it was making fun of Matt Sundin. But is there any comparable of taking somebody else's piece of equipment and throwing it away. It's a challenging one. I don't know whether there is. And I'll be honest, yeah. I wouldn't have thought of muff guard before yesterday. But helmet, maybe. Like getting into a fight and ripping a guy's helmet off and throwing it away.
Mm-hmm.
That might be something.
So not the same level, but I think it was a couple of years ago that Nathan MacKinnon ripped the helmet off of an opposition player and then threw the helmet at the player.
Yeah, that was dangerous.
It was dangerous. Like I'm not saying it wasn't dangerous, but I'm saying like similar type of scenario where you pull someone's equipment off and then you throw it in a direction. I mean Nathan MacKinnon, Chris Kreider, not that different.
Chicago, a Blackhawks game, I believe somebody threw an opposition player's helmet into the stands. And again, it might have been Winnipeg because the only reason why it clicks into gear is fans, the next time they played in Winnipeg, came with helmets on, like a couple of fans, and they were told they had to take them off, like for security reasons. They got a little hypersensitive about it. But that's kind of cool. I like the idea of that kind of stuff. I think it's cool. I think it's fun. And I couldn't wait to talk to you guys about it. Mm-hmm. It's a third straight overtime game in the Eastern Conference final of a 2-2 yeah. series. And yep. I couldn't get past pulling somebody's mouth guard out.
That tracks for you.
Yeah.
It really does.
It's fun.
Yeah,
check the text line when we come back. It's the VGK Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Little country for us coming back. I like that style. Keep that up. Grow into your country roots over the course of the summer and bring it back with vengeance in the fall as we get back into it with the VGK and the start of the regular season. Finishing up the Stanley Cup playoffs, so four teams left, Darren Millard, Ryan Wallace, and Chris Chapman. And this is a scenario where Florida was able to finally win in overtime in this series against the New York Rangers. It was a great hockey game. It was a really good hockey game between two really well-balanced teams. And I'm not sure you have a grasp on it if you're Scotty Bowman or you're Chris Chapman on how this series is going to go, other than they're basically going beyond regulation every time. And I thought when it went to overtime, well, the Rangers got them here.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's the first loss this postseason for the Rangers in overtime, so it just gives you kind of an idea of how dominant that they've been in the extra frame. But, you know, I think that you kind of look at this series, and from a play perspective, I think the Panthers have controlled a lot of the play over the first four games. But Igor Shesterkin's been really, really good for the New York Rangers, and the Rangers have been able to make really big plays in key moments. The goal from Alexi Lafreniere last night was kind of a key. Like, that was really the only play that they made in the third period, and it's the play that ties the game up and allows them to go to overtime. So it's a close series, and I think that, you know, you look at it and you say, okay, if we get three more games and all three go to overtime, sounds about right.
I don't think enough was made on the broadcast about the Adam Fox effort the skill level. Hey, to be able to get that puck and decide to shoot it, a 35-foot backhander, and it was all skill for the player to be able to create the space to do it, the skill level that went into the spinner and then let loose the backhand. A lot of, like, backhand is my favorite play in hockey. A backhand pass or a backhand shot. I just love it. It's so hard to do, and people try to stay away from it. And those that can actually accomplish it and trust themselves create an incredible amount of space for themselves and opportunity, more particular on the rush than this play. But what Adam Fox did in the offensive zone was absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, just the ability to hold on to the puck and create that space by using his legs and using his body, and then identifying where Lafreniere was coming in around the net. Like, you got to get the puck there.
You think it was a pass?
I do think it was a pass. Yeah, I
it wasn't a very good pass then.
I don't think it was. I don't think it was intended to be a tape to tape pass or anything like that. I think that Fox was just trying to get it in the direction of Lafreniere. I really do. Like, I mean, you know, you can maybe quibble with the idea that it's a pass if he's shooting for a deflection, but I think in that scenario he was trying to get the puck to an area for a deflection play for Lafreniere. I do believe that.
I think he was trying to get it on net or get it or around the net. It was intended as a shot. In looking at it, it was intended as a shot. It worked out great, and it was if he was looking at it as getting it to Lafreniere, then brilliant. Like, he is so off the charts ability to see the ice. Good on him. But I think the first and foremost, it was he created some space, gave himself an opportunity for a look, and got the puck sort of off his hot stick and towards the net and a chance to create some play. And it did work out perfectly, but I don't think he was intending that to be the actual play. Good luck. Like, it worked out for him, but or what do they say? A good miss in golf. Like, you're not really going for that sucker pin, but you miss it a little bit, and it works out good as you end up a foot away with water on the right. Good miss.
Well, at the same time, like, it would have, if he wasn't going, in my view, I agree with the premise that it's not a good pass, but if it's intended as a shot strictly, it's going a foot wide. So, like, it was, regardless of what the intention was for Adam Fox, it worked out because he got the puck where you need to get it to, toward the front of the net, and he had a player in Lafreniere who was able to read the play, understand where he needed to be, and he found and they made a play. And they made a play when they needed to make one. And, you know, I think it was more along
Quibble?
The lines of,
Quibble?
Yeah, quibble, yeah.
That's a good, wrong with that's that a good word.
That's a great
we should
word.
Get quibble into the show more.
I'll throw it in. Don't you worry.
Igor Shesterkin's been brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
But has the guy at the other end been pretty good? Are we overlooking what's going on with Bob? There's no bad goals here. Everything's barring in.
Yeah, I think we are. To a certain extent, overlooking what Bobrovsky does. And, you know, I think it's just because he allowed 5 goals in game 3. And, you know, that was kind of a rare 9-goal game with Bobrovsky and Shesterkin. But what always impresses me about Bobrovsky is his ability to make the big save in a tight game, right? Like, we saw it in the first round against the Lightning and, you know, at various stages against the Bruins, but, like, it doesn't really matter what the score is. He doesn't allow bad goals, and generally speaking, if there's a big save that needs to be made, he comes up with it 9 times out of 10. He's been great. He's been really solid.
Makes a ton of money. Massive
amount of
money.
What happens when you're good? Yeah.
Like, highest paid goalie in the league.
Yeah.
So, should more teams do that?
I mean, I don't know.
I'm surprised it hasn't had more influence. Like last year, why they signed him to the big deal, to get them to the Stanley Cup. If he does it again, do you go down that path? Does it change how teams are handling their goaltenders? Vegas was very efficient with their spending on goaltending. LA doubled down on that, went even more cost effective.
I would argue no, because unless you're getting a Sergei Bobrovsky or an Andrei Vasilevsky or a Connor Hellebuck, I don't know that you go that direction, right? Like, you're talking about with Igor Shesterkin and you know, Sergei Bobrovsky, you're talking about elite, top of the food chain guys, and they play a ton. They're durable, and they're at the top of their game more often than not. Like, I don't think that you you do that if you're other teams around the league, because I don't think that there's a lot of guys that are on the same level of Shesterkin, Vasilevsky, and Bobrovsky. I just don't.
I'm going to give you a list of the highest paid goaltenders later.
Okay.
I'm gonna ask you one question: worth it or not?
Mm-hmm.
So you give me worth it or not?
Okay. Yep.
We'll go top five. Maybe expand on that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be an interesting exercise in how you view them and how you view the future, given what's happening right now with Bob in his second straight conference final, trying to go to the Stanley Cup championship series for the second straight year. We'll take a break, come back, and set up hour number two as the VGK Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Hey, where are you getting those clips from? This Canadian broadcast that you're pulling that from?
Yeah, I just pull it off of YouTube, and whatever's there is there, because I know for the Dallas and Edmonton series, I think we get Chris Cuthbert on that, if I'm not mistaken. And I enjoy listening to him, so I always look forward to those calls.
Oh, so you're intending for it to be the Canadian broadcast?
No. I just pull up YouTube, and if it's ESPN, it's ESPN, or if it's Turner, it's Turner. If it's the Canadian broadcast, it's the Canadian broadcast. But I don't have any say in what particular highlights the NHL puts on YouTube.
Oh, okay. So it's through the NHL that you're getting it.
Yes.
Interesting. Yeah. Curious whether you had an affinity for the Canadian broadcast in any particular angle with that, but I love to dive into the head, the mind, the way it works of Chris Chapman.
No, I enjoy Kenny Albert's call, so I don't mind when I get to use his.
Didn't sound like you were kind of trying to stay away from Kenny, and I don't know why you would do that.
No,
Kenny is a very good, solid colleague of mine.
He's been on the show before. He's a good guy. I enjoy listening to him.
And you didn't hang up on him?
No, he's not Scott Hamilton.
He's got a good book out, too, about his career. You know, he was with Barry Trotz when he broke into the business, and he was a roommate with Barry when they go on the road.
Wow.
He was the broadcaster. Barry's the coach.
Mm-hmm.
And they were roomies. Some pretty funny stuff,
That's
too.
Cool. Yeah.
Hour number two coming up. Some of your texts and some of your analysis of the Florida Rangers series to come.